We're not back to racing just yet. We have, however, completed a few testings, and some other series have been catching our eye that we want to talk about. Welcome back to Formula Talk. My name is Sophia, and joining me today, we have once again the lovely Tom Downey. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. And you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you.
It's been a while, not believing it.
Mate, yeah,
Between work, personal reasons, and also there's not been much racing in F2 and F3. They've had such a big break, especially F1 Academy as well. That's not taking place. Next one is Miami for F1 Academy and Imola for Formula 2 and Formula 3. There's such a big gap between the first couple of rounds of racing. So apologies to our listeners and viewers. It's been a while, but we are back. Today, we're discussing the Formula 3 testing that was completed from the 16th to the 18th of April this month. F2 is currently testing on the same track, which is finishing on the 24th of April. The F1 Academy inaugural winner, Marta Garcia, will be testing in Formula E alongside other series drivers we have mentioned throughout the podcast. And Prema is joining IndyCar starting from next year. Once again, sorry it's been a while, but we are back running pretty much like we never left. Before we get into this episode, we must thank our sponsor for this episode, which is BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games, available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on all the action. Remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that is BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. And also, make sure you're following us on all social media channels at Grid Talk UK to stay up to date with this show and our sister show Grid Talk that covers everything F1. So, let's start with Formula 3. Testing was completed over 3 days at the iconic Barcelona circuit earlier this month. Looking at the first day, Gabriel Mini was able to top both sessions as the fastest. And in the morning session, the top three was Gabriel Mini, of course, Samuel Metenloof, I'm still getting used to some of these last names, and Charlie Wirtz rounding up the top three. And actually, the top 13 were less than half a second off the fastest time, which is a great thing to see, have the drivers bunch up. In the afternoon session, once again, it was Gabriel Mini with Mari Boyer and Luke Browning. The second day, it was Boyer, Leonardo Fornaroli, and Luke Browning rounding up the top three with Oliver Goethe, Tim Tramitz, and Marcus Steinhorn topping the afternoon session. But overall, Boyer had the fastest time of the day. And then on the final day, it was once again Boyer taking the fastest in the morning session, followed by Oliver Goethe and Luke Browning. And in the afternoon, it was Leonardo Fornaroli, Metenloof, and Callum Voisin for the last session of the testing. But once again, Boyer was the fastest overall time of the day, proving that the morning sessions were key for fast speed. While each driver and different teams had different programs they wanted to run, some did a lot of laps. I think the highest I saw in a session was like 60 laps completed, which is crazy to think about. Some were doing running the tire wear simulation, fuel load, doing qualifying fast lap simulations, and race pace. But it proved to be a good 3-day test ahead of the next round in Imola in May. What's your take, and before we speak about F2 testing, what's your take about doing testing at Barcelona? It is one of the most iconic circuits for testing, but a mid-season testing, what information can they probably get better than what they did pre-season testing? What do you think, Tom?
Well, I think, you know, obviously, like you said, you know, it's mid-season, quote-unquote mid-season, you know, so it's testing at some point during the season, not necessarily the midpoint. I'm getting far too involved in that already. But it's, you know, it's testing to see, you know, sort of perhaps where the cars are now compared to where they were at the start of the season, you know, because there'll obviously be setup changes, upgrades, all the rest of it, maybe new parts, all the rest of it. Obviously, they're spec cars, you know, so it's not like testing yet in F1 where teams like, oh, well, you know, let's try out a new floor or, you know, your new power unit, or if you're Alpine, a new set of tractor wheels. So it's, you know, so it's not testing in that respect, but it's just a chance for the teams to sort of get sort of like see how things working. And it's not just about the out and out cars. It's also about how the team is working and, you know, sort of how the drivers are improving. And also, you know, if you think about the time of year, it's what it's going towards the tail end of May now. And the Count has walked over. Hello.
Wait, it's tail end of April.
Sorry,
it's been a long month, Ben.
May, I don't even believe. But yeah, it's the tail end of April. So temperatures are obviously rising quite a lot. And if you think about the sort of like ambient temperature in Spain now compared to when they did testing, which is what, early February, sort of late February, early March kind of thing. Obviously around that, seasons are changing, so the cars are going to react differently, the tyres are going to react differently. And as we sort of come into these warmer rounds, so to speak, as we sort of enter spring, summer, the drivers will obviously react differently. They'll feel different in the cockpit, because they'll likely sweat more, especially around Barcelona. If you're a Mercedes affiliated driver, even if it's raining, you think you're sweating, or vice versa. I hope you get that reference. So it's a good chance that, to also sort of like just take stock of where the team is. Because a team might have come a season thinking, we've got a good chance where we're going to sort of go for the championship. We've got two good drivers, three good drivers, whatever. And then it might just be, oh, well, hang on, the team's not quite firing on all cylinders. No pun intended. And it's, again, unless you're Alpine. And then it's a bit of a case of just figuring out what they need to work on next, and then they can sort of target their next sort of phase of development as well. And like I say development, obviously it's not the same as development in F1, because like I said, it's a spec series, but it's just a good chance to sort of like perhaps iron out some things. They can do things like pit stop practice, the drivers can test out long runs, or quali laps or long runs on alternate fuel plant, there's all that kind of thing, all the kind of stuff that perhaps goes on during free practice that they don't necessarily get as much time to do, and which is instrumental in driver development, which is what the Junior Series is about.
100%. And even as well, not all the drivers are taking part in other series. We see a lot of drivers currently going to be racing in GB4, in FRECA, which is the Formula Regional by Alpine European Championships. We've seen a few take part in Formula 4, but obviously that has a cost and not everybody can afford to do that as well. I think off the top of my head, there's only maybe about 3 or 4 drivers I can think in Formula 3 that are also racing in other disciplines as well. So using testing does also help them kind of get more time on the track. And the cars are different from Formula 4 to Formula 3 as well. So definitely good to see. Their last testing was the preseason done in Bahrain, which was done in early February, just about 2 weeks before the season started. So it is very different. It's a very different circuit and track. And Barcelona, if you only watch F1, you know that used to be the iconic testing track for a lot of the development. So it makes sense that Formula 2 and Formula 3, and even F1 Academy has done a round of testing over the years, I think within the last 2 years at Barcelona as well. So it is a really good track to look at. Looking at Formula 2, currently at the time of this recording, which is the 24th of April, we are in the middle of the 3-day testing. They've just completed day 2 because we are recording this at 5 o'clock after our workday. Looking at it, it was Formula 3 2023 champion Gabriel Bortoleto was able to take the fastest time of day 1. However, in the morning, it was Dennis Hauger, Chris Meine, and Richard Vachon in the top 3 for the morning sessions, with Gabriel Bortoleto, Jack Crawford, and Enzo Fittipaldi finishing in the top afternoon session. On the second day, Pepe Marti was able to take the fastest time of the day, which was set in the morning, so slightly different to what was done on the first day of testing. Victor Martins and Dennis Hauger was rounding out the top 3, but Marti was 2 seconds ahead of them in the morning session, and it could be different strategies, different fuel loads, different sim setups. It depends on what the teams and the drivers want. In the afternoon, it was Vittorio Miniata who took the fastest time in the afternoon session, nearly 3 seconds ahead of Gabriel Bortoleto and Zane Maloney. As mentioned, they are going to the last round of testing tomorrow. We just don't obviously have the data for it. And we might discuss about the testing, looking forward to our preview of Imola, because that will be the next round for both F2 and F3, where we're going to figure out who was the top time overall, probably, for the testing. And it might be some interesting surprises to see. Now, moving on to a race series we don't really speak about much, just because both of us are not overly fans of it at the moment, and also because they've changed the licensing of viewership in the UK. You have to pay for it, and it is very expensive to get the license to watch it, and that is Formula E. However, It was announced even today that the first F1 Academy champion, which is Marta Garcia, who is racing in Freca with the Iron Dames, has been given the opportunity to take part in the FE rookie test that is taking place in Berlin. This is the second rookie test taking place in the 2024 season in Formula E. A few other key names to look at. We've had Zane Maloney take place in the first round of the rookie testing, and no doubt he will be doing the second round. Krishmaini, Kyle Collett, and Tim Tramitz are other ones that have been rumored or have already taken place in the first testing. The Berlin rookie test will be taking place after Monaco, which is actually taking place this weekend, so it'll be really cool to see. But also, Paul Aron is actually replacing a driver for the rookie testing, and I believe actually for the days of racing in Berlin due to conflict of scheduling because of Jake Aiken. He has to, I think he's taking place in WEC or something, some other discipline of racing. So he's actually unavailable for Berlin race weekend and the testing potentially afterwards. So Paul Aron is going to be debuting for that race weekend, which will be very interesting to see. Now, Tom, we've had a few other F2, F3 drivers take place in the FE testings over the years. Who, Taylor Barnard, for example, who is a McLaren Neon development driver, who else do you think should be getting involved in these FE rookie testing?
Would love that question. I think Formula E is a good opportunity for a lot of young drivers to sort of get involved in. And, you know, everybody is so quick to say, you know, oh, you know, but you want to get to Formula One, you know, you want to get to F1. It's like, well, you know, yeah, F1, you know, he's obviously, you know, lovely and all the rest of it. But, you know, drivers might have different aspirations. You know, they might want to go into Formula E, or they might want to go into IndyCar or something like that. You know, so, you know, to see someone like Marta Garcia, and also, you know, if we sort of look at Marta Garcia herself, obviously, you know, and like you said, you know, F1 Academy champion, all the rest of it. It's a brilliant opportunity for her, and you know, it's a good chance for her to show what she can do in a you know, in one of the sort of, you know, more sort of higher up series. You know, now I know it's only a test, you know, so it's, you know, it's not the be all and end all. You know, it's not like she's getting bumped in on a race weekend like Oli Behrman did, for example, in a Ferrari, as we saw in Saudi last month. But it's, in terms of who would I actually want to see in that, you know, or in a, let's say, in a Formula E seat, you know, doing a test. Oh, God. I mean, you know, there are quite a few drivers, certainly from sort of F2, F3, I'd like to see it there. But whether we would or not is obviously different, sorry, but that's also another question. Yeah, so it's easy to say someone like Behrman, Antonelli, you know, you're sort of saying Maloney. Yeah, I think using Maloney is anyway, but you know, the sort of names that get affiliated more with F1, it's easy to say sort of those kind of people. But for me, someone like, for example, someone like Richard Vasseur in F2, you know, a pretty damn solid F2 driver. You know, not sort of like linked that much or really linked at all with anything in F1, but nonetheless, you know, he does a good job in F2, and I think if someone like him was given a crack at, you know, Formula E, or you know, someone like Emerson Fittipaldi, you know, he's a bit old, yeah, and Enzo Fittipaldi, you know, someone like him, or you know, maybe even Correa, you know, these are names that are decent in F2, you know, obviously, you know. You know, Vasseur and, you know, Fittipaldi, both recent race winners, you know, so that they're showing they've got something about them. And, you know, it's easy to look at, you know, your Behrman, Chantinelli's, your Zane Maloney's, to a lesser extent, even your Victor Martins. I know he's having a bit of a stinker this season, but, you know, that's another story for the day. You know, those will tend to get the free practice sessions with, you know, Haas, Mercedes, AlphaTauri, or whatever they're called these days, you know, Alpine, whoever, in F1. You know, so that's why I'm saying people like Vasseur, Fittipaldi, you know, Correa, even someone like Cordiel, because you think about it, he had a really good time. Is it Saudi one, or the games? It was one of the Saudi races. He did really well. I can't remember.
Bahrain.
I'd have to go and look, and I'm not. Yeah, I'm not going to look into it that much, but you know, I remember he's been doing really well this season. You know, so people like that, you know, they're the kind of people I'd like to see in Formula E.
Definitely. I mean, we can't forget also like Jehan Derulo, who was doing both Formula E a bit and F2 last season, and now has moved full-time to a full-time seat in Formula E. You can even look at, what's his name, the one that moved from Formula 2 to Formula 3 that almost had a go at IndyCar as well, but had some personal, got cancelled. What's the guy's name?
Ferrucci.
No, not Santino Ferrucci. He used to race in Formula E, and I hate to say it, but he used to crash a lot as well, would be the slowest. And he said something online that got him cancelled. Not like Yuri Vips, but it was something else. I need to double check this. And this was going back like about a year or two ago, I think. Drivers. I need to find this out. Where is it? Dan Tickham! That's who it was. That's who it was. Obviously, he raced in Formula 2 and Formula 3 and then moved over to Formula E. You can even talk about, like, who else? Jake Hughes did Formula E and then moved to IndyCar. There's a few other ones as well, but yeah, it should be... I'm excited to see the testings and see the press conferences from that. Obviously, Marta Garcia, I think, is the first female that has been given this opportunity as well. So it'll be quite cool to see. But yeah, should be exciting. But first, we got to get through Monaco for F3 taking place this weekend. And because they've changed the licensing for UK viewers to TNT Sports, I unfortunately will try to find a stream of some sort or just read the press conferences when the racing's done. Yeah, okay.
Or I'll just do that.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm up for it. I mean, this is my one weekend to kind of relax before going back into Miami and all the preps of this next couple months in racing, because we got some double and triple headers coming up as well. So that should be fun to think about. But finally, one of the last things we got to talk about is the most iconic team in racing for Formula 2, Formula 3, F1 Academy for World Endurance Championships has just announced that they will be entering two cars to the full season of IndyCar starting in 2025 and will also be taking place at the Indy 500. What team? Prema. I am so excited to see this. I think it's a great opportunity for them to get involved. I think it's similar to what Andretti is doing, but maybe what Andretti's trying to do into F1, Prema's doing into Indy, and then maybe might go into F1. Who knows if the FIA allow multiple teams. But I think what we could see potentially is Andretti entering Formula 2 and Formula 3 in order to get into F1 as well. So they are obviously involved with other different sports, different racing, Andretti, so it's a good progression. But yeah, Prema's going to be racing the iconic Italian colors. So their base will be in Indiana, and it is kind of run separately compared to what's being done for F2, F3, and all those other European disciplines. So there's a few drivers that have worked with Prema in the past that are currently racing in IndyCar. Felix Rosenqvist, who took pole in Long Beach last weekend. Marcus Armstrong and Callum Ilott, who's been obviously supporting McLaren with also Théo Pourchaire, raced in IndyCar this weekend for McLaren, replacing David Malukas while he's recovering from injury. But like those three drivers, I think all of them don't have seats for 2025. To be honest, I don't think Felix and Marcus will leave their teams with Chip Ganassi Racing and Meyer Shank Racing, I believe it is, for Felix. But Callum might be a great opportunity for the Prema team. So it is supplied under the Chevrolet engine, so be part of Team Chevy. They will be taking place in the ovals. However, Prema is not the first F2 team to actually enter IndyCar. Can you take a guess on which team it was, Tom?
I don't know. You're going to put me on the spot.
Just say any random one. I mean, it is an iconic team as well. I'll give you that kind of hint. It's not really changed names over the last couple years.
Iconic in what particular
sport? In Formula 2 and Formula 3. It's family owned. Well, family run. It used to be family run.
Carlin.
Yep.
Yeah. She's a family run. Like, yeah. Stephanie Carlin. Yeah.
Give you the biggest hint.
Yeah. As soon as you start, it's like, yeah, it's got to be Carlin.
Yeah. They entered in 2018 and then pretty much disappeared by the end of 2021. Could be obviously because of COVID and fundings, but they were the first F2 team to have at least a entry into IndyCar. But it should be exciting. Like I said, two seats. So do you think they'll do a double rookie or do a rookie and a veteran to some extent? And also like the ovals as well. That will be so interesting to see their testing. And the 2025 schedule for IndyCar, I believe there's about 3 to 4 oval racetracks in their season as well. So that could have a lot of points on top of the Indy 500, which has so many points up for grabs over the month of testings and racings. But I mean, Tom, I'm not sure if you follow IndyCar as much as probably I do, but can you think of any drivers, maybe Wolf, Kyle Mylod, or whoever's been racing in Prema and Formula 2 and Formula 3, maybe they might move over? What's your take on it?
Well, I think someone like Callum Ila or Robert Schwartzman, I think those would both be sort of great shouts for the quote-unquote rookie seat. I do agree with what you sort of suggested, where they should have a rookie seat and then a sort of like veteran experience seat, because we've seen what happens when teams put two rookies in. Like, it goes about as well as a slap in the face. You know, so it's probably a good idea that they'll have someone, not necessarily who's going to be, you know, who's going to go into that team thinking, you know, I'll be sort of like challenging for a title or anything like that, because we're going to be realistic about what Prema will be doing in their first couple of seasons. I know they're back with, you know, I know they've got Chevy power, you know, so that's going to stand them in good stead. And that, you know, they're not sort of doing it, you know, sort of like half-heartedly. You know, they're going out, you know, building their new, what do you call it, you know, building their new factory in Indiana and all the rest of it. You know, they are doing it properly, so to speak. You know, as for someone sort of more experienced, I don't know. You know, I mean, you could just say, you know, what you could say, what the heck, and put Stingray Rob in the other seat. But yeah, but
I wouldn't count him as a bet.
Yeah. You know, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't. I don't really know.
Bring back Helio Castroneves. He couldn't take a year out of retirement to go back. You'll be doing the Fernando Alonso of IndyCar.
Yeah, he would be, yeah.
That's
not a bad shout, though. And, you know, but, you know, because he might be sitting on the sidelines and sort of going, oh, well, you know, actually, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, I wouldn't mind sort of like getting back into it. I mean, you know, if someone, this is absolutely sort of like, you know, wishful thinking. You know, if someone like Scott Dixon or... Yeah, I know or something. Scott Dixon, or you know, even Will Power, you know, Joseph Newgarden, if somebody like that was available, that would be an insane person to have. But let's be realistic. You know, even someone like Simon Pagenaud.
Yeah.
You know, because he won in what, 2017, 2016, 2015. He won around then. I can't remember what year exactly, but I know he won. Sorry, the cat's walked over. I know he won around that time. So
yeah,
you know, I mean, so, any of those.
Yeah, get Connor Daly, get Graham Murray. Obviously, some of us, we don't know some of these contracts for these drivers, but it's funny as well. Those three drivers you mentioned, Scott Dixon, Joseph Newgarden, and Will Power. I believe not Scott Dixon, but Joseph Newgarden and Joseph Newgarden actually got disqualified from the first race of the season. It was just announced today. Will Power took a 10-point deduction, and it was the other driver for Team Penske that I think it's Scott McLaughlin, I think, or I might have already said their name. Yeah, Scott McLaughlin also got disqualified as well for a push to pass, which is their version of DRS infringement. But yeah, I'm excited to see. Prema was actually at the track Indy for the first round of the testings that's taking place. IndyCar is racing this weekend at Barber Motorsports. Teo Pourchaire, the F2 champion who raced last weekend, is also racing again this weekend for McLaren. He was actually the top mover. He moved 11 places in the race to finish P11 on his debut, which is a great thing to see. And he'll be racing again this weekend in Barber. And then we go to May, which is Indy month, where there's so much testings prepping for the Indy 500. And I believe there is 34 cars currently entered, and they only have space for 32. So shootout day is definitely going to be interesting. We will do a special probably for the Indy 500, same as the Le Mans, which is taking place around the same time as well. We'll do some special Formula Talk episodes. But yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited to see how Prema will go with IndyCar next season. I think they will be better than Juncos Hollander Racing, who entered two seasons ago. I think they will do a lot better because they have more experience, funding, and also knowledge in different racing in motorsports. So, yeah, I cannot wait. The ovals are going to be interesting.
Yeah, but they're going to be really interesting.
I'm so excited because it's not just Indy that has ovals. It's multiple oval tracks and like even the streets as well, the mix of the track and streets courses that take place in IndyCar. If you can watch it, it's on Sky Sports. If you're a UK subscriber, like I would recommend. It's a great thing to watch on a Sunday night sometimes, especially after a race weekend as well. So you get all your motorsport fix. They do pretty much the same layout of qualifyings and free practices as well, starting from Friday. So pretty much follows the same as F1, and it's a great thing to watch after work. I enjoy doing it quite a lot because of the time difference. But yeah, that is our news roundup for Formula Talk. You can catch us on YouTube where episodes are posted. Just search Formula Talk on YouTube to keep up with our 2024 season. If you've been a listener to our show, you know that we are the sister show of Grid Talk. You can find our back catalogs and their episodes on Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Cast. Just search Grid Talk to find our episodes and their episodes. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can buy mics light to better recording equipment. And once again, make sure that you're subscribed so you're the first to know when each new episode of Formula Talk is released. And also that you are following us on social media for when any of our shows have been posted. We'll be back soon with plenty of content where we will preview the F1 Academy Round 2 racing in Miami and also talk about the testing that took place in a rainy Zandvoort. Thank you, Tom, as always, for joining me. Love to have you back on.
Oh, pleasure as always, Soph.
And thank you very much for listening to Formula Talk podcast presented by BetOnline. And goodbye.